Grantharash Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayer. Text 28. Evam janam nipatitam pravavahikupe. Kama bikamam anuya papatan prasangat. Krit Vatma Sad Surashina Bhagavan Grihita. Soham Katam Nurishi Je Tava Britya Sevam. Translation: My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I ever leave his service? Purport. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant Narada Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. That is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandera charana sevi bhakti sane vas janame janame hai e abhilas. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. That is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master, so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lat Bij. One can achieve the seed of service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. That is the secret of success. One should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. One should not attempt to please the Lord by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master. And when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, Soham katam nu rishiche tava bhritya sevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master, who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. So today, these devotees are taking initiation into our Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. This initiation process has been compared to a second birth. You're being born again. First birth is into the womb of material nature, into the womb of our mother. And although people somehow tend to celebrate their birthday, it's really not so much a tradition in our Gaudiya Vaishnava culture, but it's anyway, it's happening. But we want to honor the Vaishnavas. But, birth into this world is nothing wonderful. It's essentially a fall down. It is a fall down to a greater or lesser degree. To a lesser degree, if you take birth as Lord Brahma, to a greater degree if you take birth as an Indragopa. Indragopa is the tiniest insect. I guess it's meant by that, like amoeba, the tiniest creature. But whether you're first-class prisoner, you're a second-class prisoner, third-class prisoner, you're a prisoner. And to be in jail is a fallen condition. So we're all in a fallen condition. And nothing wonderful, because birth in this world means that we're going to die. Chitasya hi dhruvo mrityor dhruvam janma mitasya cha. Krishna says in Gita, for one who has taken his birth, he's sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take birth again. The shamsara, the wheel of shamsara. So it's a very bad bargain. With birth, you're guaranteed at least one thing in this life, death. It's like two sides of the coin. One side is heads and the other side's tails. You can't have one without the other. Like before a football match, at least rugby or American football, whatever, they flip a coin to see who's going to get the ball first. So each side wants the ball first because you're on the offensive. It's better to be on the offensive than the defensive. Every side's hoping that they'll get the heads or whatever. But obviously only one team gets that advantage. So one team's happy and the other side is sad. So life is like that. We take birth. It's a new beginning. It's a fresh start. It's a hope. It's an aspiration that this time I'll be successful. Some lessons we never learn. This time I'm going to be successful. Then suddenly, without warning, as if we're not prepared, there's the shock. There's the tragedy of death. Therefore, in this world, a devotee, he's always a little sober. Devotees are happy by nature. We had my wonderful godbrother, Sridhar Swami. Well, they were both wonderful godmothers. Sridhar Maharaj, he was the jolly Swami. He was a jolly Swami, even up to the point of death. I was with him. I wasn't with him when he passed away, but I was with him almost to that point. He was so transcendental, so convinced that he was going to be with Prabhupada. He was going to be with Krishna. He had a smile on his face to the end, the jolly Swami. But although we're jolly, we're also a little sober. Sobriety, because we know that everything is temporary. Dukkalayam ashashvatam. This is a temporary world full of so many miseries. So we're also a little sober. We don't become overjoyed when there's good times. We don't become depressed when there's bad times. We're equipoise. We have one duty here. Eke kuru nandana. To fix our mind on Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. We're not depressed when there's bad times. We're not necessarily, real blissed out when there's some wealth comes or whatever. No, equipoise. Anything can happen in this world. What's Murphy's Law? What is Murphy's Law? I forget it. Whatever will go wrong, will go wrong. That's Murphy's Law. I don't know. It's not in the Bhagavad Gita, but maybe we should add it as an appendix. Tyaja dujana samsargam. Bhaja sadhu samagamam. Kuru punyam ahoratram. Smaranityam anityatam. The sadhus are helping us. Even though they appeared centuries or thousands of years ago, they left us their wonderful realizations in the form of their writings. Chanakya Pandit, he says, give up the association of evil persons. Partake in the association of saintly persons. Perform pious deeds day and night. And smara nityam anit yatam. Always remember the flickering nature of this world. If you do like that, you'll always be a little sober. But however dismal the situation may be, that the prospect of disease is ahead of us, the prospect of old age is there and death, we've only conquered over, we've only experienced one thing or two things, birth and disease. Now old age is coming and then death will come. Nevertheless, we retain hope in Krishna consciousness, because in Krishna consciousness we have in our hands a solution to the problem, to those problems. So we're hopeful. Karmis are just, there's no solution. But we always have the positive alternative, even against all-devouring death. Oh, what is your solution, sir? You'll take some medicine and you'll become immortal? Like in the heavenly planets, they have the soma ras. But that runs out after a while. After your punya, your piety runs out, they don't give it to you anymore. Sorry, no more drugs. So what is our formula for immortality? Bhaktimam abhijananti yavanyascha smitatvataha. Tatamam tatvato jantva vishite tadanantaram. This is real poetry. Krishna says, one can understand me as I am only through the process of devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me through devotion, he can enter the kingdom of God. And what happens if you enter the kingdom of God? There's only one entrance. There's no exit. Punarjanma navidyate, Krishna says another verse. That person who enters into the spiritual sky, he never returns to Melbourne, Australia, in the cold weather. So that birth, that auspicious birth, the second birth into Krishna consciousness, where there's no return, that we're witnessing today. We were mentioning the other day in a series of lectures we were giving in Sydney that there's two things in this world that are two mysteries, primordial mysteries that always attract people. When somebody comes into the world and somebody leaves the world. Right? When somebody's born, then all their relatives, nowadays it's fashion, all their relatives come to watch the mother give birth. Oh, look, wow. Oh, he's so cute. No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. May this be your last birth in this world. Happy birthday, may this be your last birth. And the blessing we give on the birthdays. Oh Maharaj, can you give me, it's my birthday. Good, very good. May this be your last birth. And death, when someone leaves, it's just something, it's like a magnet. When someone leaves, everyone surrounds the bed. The rich man's leaving, so everyone's around his bed thinking, you know, I wonder if I'm in the will. Or and a Vaishnava is leaving, and his beloved godbrothers and godsisters are there to see him off. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. So we're thanking you all for being here today to witness this birth, spiritual birth, second birth into Krishna consciousness, because this birth is a birth that's very auspicious. Janame, janame sabhe, pita, mata, paya, Krishna guru nahimile bhajahari e. I love this verse. One of the first verses I memorized when that verse book came out by Rohini Nandana. Everyone gets a mother and father birth after birth. But if one gets the benedictions of Guru and Krishna, the spiritual father, the guru, and the eternal father, the original father, Krishna, he can conquer the material energy and return back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. This verse doesn't mean that we disrespect our parents, because our parents are actually like our first gurus. They're our first shiksha gurus. They conceive us and they bring us into the world with the idea of a fast exit. They want to deliver us to our eternal guru, our spiritual master, and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore and even our material parents, even as devotees, we shouldn't neglect our parents, because had they not taken care of us, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. One time my mother, I was having an argument with her, bless her soul. When I was 17, you know, I was a teenager, and we were having a very strong argument over the dinner table. And, you know, I was winning because I was a big boy and I was 17. And my father had passed away, and my poor mother was trying to raise us children. I had no education in Krishna consciousness. And she broke down crying. She said, "Son, don't you realize, don't you remember how I changed your diapers for months and years and how I fed you from my breast milk?" And she was going on and on, and I just broke down. And I said, "Okay, Mom, sorry. Geez, what do you want me to do?" "I just want you to take out the garbage." So we should respect our mundane mothers and fathers, because they enabled us to come to the point of choosing to be devotees. What to speak if our parents are favorable? Even if they aren't favorable, we should still, because of the gift they gave us, we should still pray for them, like we pray for all living entities to become Krishna conscious. I was adamant about that with my mother. As you know, my mother was a scientist. If you read the diary, she was atheistic, maybe agnostic at best. "Something's out there," she said. And we never agreed on philosophy, but toward the end she found she had cancer, and then something had a change of heart. She started reading all the books that I'd sent her and she'd put in the garage. And by the time she left, on her deathbed, my brother said, my brother was crying and lamenting. She said to my brother, "Don't lament for me. I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul, jivatma. I'm going to Krishna." And my mother died with the name of God on her lips. So now she's in a position to bless me. This is the power of a devotee's prayer. So we respect our parents, but how much respect then we have for our spiritual father, who takes upon himself the responsibility, the burden, to take the disciple back to Godhead. That is the greatest challenge, to go back to Godhead. And spiritual master, he makes it his business that we make it. Just like the mother and father, they make it their business their children grow up. And later the children are free to. So the guru makes it his business. He doesn't rest until his disciples are back to the spiritual world. That may mean that he has to take birth again. So he thinks like this at the moment of initiation. Disciples are thinking, "Oh, I'm getting initiated into the family of Prabhupada and ISKCON, and I've waited for this day for years, and I love the ceremony, the garlands, and this, I'm getting a new name, and this is wonderful." Guru's very sober. He's thinking, "I'm taking on another burden." But it's a burden of love. So don't feel guilty. When you have children, it's a burden, but it's a burden of love. So Guru is thinking, yes, he's also taking his vows. Disciples will take their vows. Guru takes a vow also in his heart. He doesn't maybe publicly announce it, but we're only saying this for clarity's sake. But Guru is thinking, yes, I am taking these devotees as disciples, and I promise Krishna, I promise my spiritual master, by whose mercy I'm doing this service, and I promise Krishna that I will take them back to Godhead. So how we are indebted to our spiritual father. So what is the process of taking birth? In the material world, it all begins by the father planting the seed of life into the womb of his wife, or the mother-to-be. In Krishna consciousness, it begins at initiation when the spiritual master plants the seed of bhakti. Bhakti lat bij, into the heart of the disciple. How does he do that? Through sound. When the disciple hears the spiritual master chant, he opens his heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And by hearing from the spiritual master grants him birth into transcendental knowledge. If you chant this mantra, even if you're not very scholarly, everything will be revealed to you in due course of time. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Tesam satadayuktanam bhajatam pritipuravikam didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who serve me with love and devotion, Krishna says, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Even if one is illiterate, that is not a deterrent in Krishna consciousness. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru. Most important is faith in guru and Krishna. For one who has faith in the spiritual master in Krishna, all the purport of Vedic knowledge is revealed. So when you get this mantra and you chant it very attentively every day with some gratitude and affection and eventually love, what happens is all the ignorance is destroyed and you become fully enlightened. You become Krishna conscious. It's the greatest gift you can receive. You cannot receive any greater gift in this lifetime than what you're getting today, this mantra. It will reveal to you all the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. How to get out of this world, the key to get out and enter into the spiritual sky. This, you will gain the knowledge. As the moon is the ornament of night, as a pious king is the ornament of a kingdom, as a chaste wife is the ornament of a man, so knowledge is the ornament of everything. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. This is the king of all education. That possibility you're getting today. Of course, you should strengthen it by reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said, if they don't read all my books, they'll fall down. But even if you're illiterate, if you just have faith in this instruction, the most important instruction the spiritual master gives, according to purport by Prabhupada, you chant your 16 rounds, and you're faithful, and following the regulative principles. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur said, I see no reason why all my disciples can't go back to Godhead in one lifetime. The onus is on the disciple. So this wakes us up, this loud chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, and it keeps the clouds at bay. Lord Chaitanya would take it, the devotees were in anxiety, oh Mahaprabhu, the clouds are coming, we're not going to get wet. He just raised his kartal, those clouds would run away so fast. So this will wake us up, we're in a sleeping condition. It's raining, it's pouring, the old man is snoring. He bumped his head and went to bed and couldn't get up in the morning. That's not a shloka from Chanaka Pandey. That's just a silly little rhyme, but we did bump our head. It's a long fall from Vaikuntha. So we're like sleeping, and there's different types of sleep. There's a snap, there's a nap, there's a deep sleep, and there's comatose. So a snap is Srila Prabhupada's definition of a devotee takes a few winks during the middle of the day, just after prasad or between a service, or maybe sometimes during class. Amrita Kaili was snoring through my class at the Melbourne City Hall the other day, sprawled all over a little angel. So we have a snap, and then we have a nap, which is like 10 minutes. Then you have a sleep, which is, you're allotted 6 hours in Krishna consciousness. And then you have comatose. Comatose means that the demigods are deciding if you can stay or you can go, Prabhupada said, when you're in coma. But their deepest sleep is the sleep of ignorance. Like zombie means the walking dead. So people who are not enlightened in Krishna consciousness, they're awake, but actually they're asleep. They're daydreaming, and they're night dreaming. Their whole life is just illusion. Whereas devotees are waking, wakeful in the day, and they're also wakeful at night. Sometimes devotees have wonderful dreams of Krishna. So this comatose condition is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jeev jago, jeev jago, gora chandra bole, kota nidra jhayomaya pisa chira kole. Hey, how long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? How long will you sleep? Sir, I don't like to sleep. I heard Prabhupada say one time at New Mayapur, I don't like to sleep. Because sleep means forgetfulness of Krishna. So how do you wake a sleeping man? We said last night, through sound. All right, honey, time to get up, go to work. Lali, up for school. Lala, come on. We'll just wait a few minutes till the class is over. So how do you wake up a soul who's in the comatose condition? Deep ignorance. What do you do? Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Don't take him too far away. He's waited millions of births to hear the Bhagavatam and you're taking him away. Okay, sit next to you. That's better. So this is the sound you're hearing today from our disciplic succession. So what happens when you wake up? What do you benefit by waking up? A materialistic person wakes up and he has the opportunity to fulfill his nasty material desires. He goes to school, he goes to work. When you open your eyes, when your the third eye, or let us say when your divine eyes are awoken, what do you see? When Krishna bless Arjuna, by my mercy, I give you divine eyes to see the Virata Rupa when you wake up. So what do you wake up? When you wake up in Krishna consciousness, ultimately what do you see? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sada Kabunai. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariye Udhai. Kaviraj Goswami tells. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of all living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, the living entity naturally awakens. Awakens to what? Love of God. That is the panam gati. That is the real treasure of life that's waiting for all of us. Everyone likes a treasure hunt. Right? We like to go on a treasure hunt. Recently, a few months ago, they discovered a Spanish galleon. How do you say it? Galleon? Spanish galleon. They won't say where. It's a whole politics going on now. Some people say off the African coast. Some people say off the Spanish coast. Somebody discovered a Spanish galleon with billions of dollars of gold coins. And the government gets half, and whoever did the expedition, they get half, but that's enough to keep them pretty for the rest of their life, so to speak. But you're getting more than that today. More than finding a Spanish galleon, you're getting the treasure of prema in the form of this mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And you'll see that devotees who realize that, you watch how they chant their japa. It's like their beads are valuable pearls. I saw a pearl shop in Melbourne. I thought they must be fake because they were so big. But if you have, you know, like you're just doing your pearls like this. So those who know the value of this mantra to destroy your karma, to burn your karma to ashes, to uproot your material desires, and to give you prema, when they chant, they're very careful. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Nama Nama, Hare Hare. It is a treasure. The Chaitanya Charitamrita tells the story of the astrologer who came to the house of a poor man. And he saw that poor man was so unhappy. He was so sad. And the astrologer looked at his hand. He said, "Why are you so unhappy? Your father..." He didn't say his eternal father. He said, "Your father has left you a vast amount of wealth." "Oh, where is it?" "Oh, I can tell you." "Oh, goody, where?" "Well, I'll tell you where not to go first. Don't go to the south, because if you go to the south to look for it, a wasp will sting you. If you go to the west, ghost will haunt you. If you go to the north, snake will bite you. So he's calculating. Well, okay, that leaves east, yes. You go to the east. And the man said, what do you mean by going to the south, the wasp? He said, the wasp of Karmakanda, performing spiritual activities for some material benefit. If you go to the west, if you go to America, one ghost will haunt you. It's called mental speculation. Life comes from matter. There is no life after death. There is no God in control. And I am speaking such scientific jargon that you must accept me, what I'm saying. You layman, you fool. Yes, sir. If you go to north, snake will bite you. There the yogis are doing in the Himalayas the yogic asanas for mystic powers. But that's like child's play, playing with the material energy in some subtle form. We're not interested. Well, sir, if I go east, what will I find? You go to Godadesh. You go to Mayapur. You go to Sridham Navadvip. You go to the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he revitalized, rejuvenated a renaissance of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Only in the east, only in Bengal, like Prabhupada said. I went to the west, I fulfilled my spiritual master's desire, then I had my own mission. I was shocked when I heard this. Once I was successful in satisfying my guru, I wanted to go back and revive Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Because that's where Lord appeared. He chose to appear amongst the Bengalis. You would hardly imagine it now. It's all a communist state. They're forgetting their culture. But thank the Lord he did appear in Bengal, because in Bengal they have lots of sweets. I've noticed in my travels around South India, you get that little preparation, you know, at the end. And in Gujarat, you get some Shrikhand. And I say, is there anything more? No, Swami. Just Shrikhand. Yeah, but in Bengal we get rasmalai, and we get burfi, and we get sandesh, and we get rakets, and we get, thank the Lord that he appeared in the Bengali culture. So at Sunday feast, we don't just have the yogurt preparation. We have all the nice sweets. So now the sun is coming. It's confirmed. Lord likes sweets. Little Kanai, he likes the sweets. So you go to the east, and what will you get? From the Yuga Avatar, Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Shangupanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Senkatan Prayar Yajuntihi Shumeda Shaha. Same Lord who appeared in Dwapara Yuga, he came again in Kali Yuga in a golden form, chanting, dancing, and distributing prasad. So that treasure house you'll get in the form of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare. Someone the other day, one of the programs, they said, you're speaking so much about this chanting of Hare Krishna, but I counted it. He said, it's only 16 words. And I said, yes, 32 syllables. He said, what you can get out of just 16, you said everything, all our heart's desires will be fulfilled by chanting 16 words. He said, that doesn't make sense. I said, no, but you have to understand the name of the nature of these words. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The name, the fame, the form, the paraphernalia of Krishna, it's all absolute. Krishna is dancing in your tongue when you're chanting the Maha Mantra. And what will you get? Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Haya Sharva Jagata Nishtar. In the age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, is the incarnation of Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. So we hear these verses and we tend to think, I've heard that. No, but we should meditate on that. So valuable. You'll get Krishna himself. Like when Mahaprabhu gave Raghunath Das Goswami the stone from Govardhan, the Shila. What did he say? That's a stone. We say Shila out of respect, but he said, if you worship this stone in the mode of goodness, transcendental goodness, One day you will see the son of Maharaj Nanda in that stone. So if you chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. One day you'll directly see the Lord. So it's very precious, so therefore you have to guard it. Because precious things, whenever something's precious, something valuable, there's always thieves who want to steal it. That's why Prabhupada said that we want to decorate our deities very gorgeously, but we shouldn't use real jewels. Sometimes in places like Africa, they think the jewels, because they're ignorant people, they come to the temple, like in Nairobi. They came one time and they thought the deity's jewels were real, so they attacked the deities to get the jewels. And one pujari, he had to fight with them. And they had machetes and they cut off his arm. But he still fought with one arm and he beat four of them away. Later that devotee died of some disease. I'm sure he went back to Godhead. So something's precious, you have to protect it. So therefore we don't dress our deities with valuable jewels. Maybe some small deities or private deities in your home, something. But and we have a gate, like you have a gate here. Someone said to me the other day, why the gate? I said, well, Krishna is very beautiful and very gorgeous and people may be envious. He got the point. So we have something very valuable in our hearts, which is Krishna Prema, which is being slowly developed through the chanting of Hare Krishna. It's the most beautiful thing. And you have to protect it from the thieves. So who are the thieves? There's some bad guys there in the heart. Like sometimes someone said, it's the devil that made me do it. There's lust in your heart. There's anger in your heart. There's greed in your heart. It's very embarrassing. Like if you go into public and you have, you know, when you're a teenager, you got the pimples. I remember. I used to put Band-Aids here. What happened? Oh, I was in a fight. Some pimple was there. It's very embarrassing. So for a devotee who wants to offer his heart to Krishna, he doesn't want to have a dirty, unclean pot. There's still lust there. In the corners, there's some anger, there's some greed. It's a very embarrassing situation. So a devotee wants to clean. So there's some bad guys there ready to take the treasure. Sometimes treasures are stolen. Don't be naive. There's plenty of people. There's going around the neighborhood in cars looking for houses they're going to hit up when the people are away on vacation. So how do you protect a treasure? One way to protect a treasure is to keep it secret. Somewhat secret. The word Gupta means hidden or secret, just like the gopis. The word gopi comes from Gupta. It means the gopis, the village girls of Braj, they keep their love for Krishna a little secret. Because they have their seniors. And the seniors, you know Braj, there's that Purama, Parakiya Bhav, the Ras, that the girls are not married to Krishna, Krishna's not married to the girls, but they're deeply in love with each other. And Vedic culture was very strict. An unmarried boy, an unmarried girl, they couldn't associate. This is on the transcendental platform, enhances the love. So at best, when Krishna was going to the fields, he could just look at the girls. And the girls would look, and just so that the elders wouldn't see. So they had to keep their love hidden. And therefore they weren't discovered. Sometimes Kotila, Jatila, they would find out, but that was also to enhance the pastime. So gopis mean their love for Krishna is a little hidden. So in Vedic culture, actually a disciple would not discuss openly with others who his guru was. He wouldn't discuss openly what his mantra was. He wouldn't discuss openly what his realizations were. These are affairs of the heart. It's a little confidential. It's a little secret like that. Something that you cherish. Not just everyone should see what is your heart. It doesn't mean you didn't preach, but those confidential matters, it wasn't the business only of your friends and your close associates. Gupta, you kept it hidden. Of course, in these times, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we proudly declare, who's our founder Acharya? His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa, Paribhajakacharya, Oshvatara Satashi Shimad, Shila, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. And we tell the whole world what's our mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. But again, they're affairs of the heart, so a little confidentiality is there. So we have to protect that, the treasure. So how do we do it? Well, one way to protect the treasure is to build a wall around it. So that treasure house of Krishna consciousness, we protect it by building a wall, which you could say are the four vows. A wall has four sides, so the four vows. Sir, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. If you strictly follow these rules and regulations, it will protect the treasure of Krishna consciousness in your heart. There's so much to be gained by being strict in your vows. It's not always easy, but the spiritual master has confidence that at the time of initiation, you're ready to say yes to your vows and keep your vows. Otherwise, he wouldn't give the initiation. Sometimes in the course, we have to be frank, in the course of Krishna consciousness, the vows may be broken, but that we should not let that exception be the rule. And if it does happen, then you pick yourself up and you go forward and you say, I will not do that again. That is our... We have to be practical. So I have many disciples and they speak to me confidentially. So I know these things are happening. So my Muslim friend said, if you fall down 8 times, he said, pick yourself up 9 times. But Prabhupada said, okay, once, he said twice, but after 3 times, this is a sign of insincerity. So then we have some real work to do. But really, we should think, we should be like Devarat, he took that vow. He said to his father, Pita, I shall not marry. It's a story in Mahabharata. So his father, who was a king, could marry a girl. It's a long story. But so when he said that, the demigods, they showered flowers, not drizzle of rain. They showered flowers from the sky. They said, Bhishma! He got a new name. One who has taken a terrible vow. Of course, we think that's a nice vow, to abstain from illicit sex. But the karmas are thinking, whoa, what a terrible vow. So be strict in your vows. And it's a wonderful treasure we're receiving. And actually, we're indebted, actually, to our spiritual master that he gives us this mantra. When you get... In Vedic culture, when your father passes away, you inherit his wealth and you also inherit his debts. In Western culture, it doesn't happen like that. You just get the money, you don't get the debt. But Vedic culture means if your father died, you got the money, but you also got the debts. Therefore, Chanakapana says, the father who dies with debts is an enemy to his children. So we've also inherited the great mercy of our spiritual master. We also have a great debt. He's taking our karma. He's taking the burden of responsibility. He's taking our hand. Prabhupada said he takes our hand. When you get back to the spiritual world, the guru is waiting for you, Prabhupada told Bhavananda. And he takes your hand, and he takes you into the kunja, the grove, and he puts your hand into the hand of Krishna, and he leaves you alone. Like Prabhupada said in the purport. First we serve guru, but eventually guru, he takes us and he gives us to Krishna. Of course, we're serving our guru eternally. But so we have a great debt, but it's a blessing in disguise because we can engage our body, mind, and words in trying to serve the mission of our spiritual master. This is a good disciple. He feels grateful. My spiritual master has given me so much. I want to help him in his mission. Well, the bird has also come for come for the grains, but you're hearing, so you can stay. You see the pigeon? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nama Nama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. So this is good disciple. There's good disciples and there's foolish disciples, just like there's good students and there's foolish students. So unquestionably the spiritual master is qualified because he's in good standing, but the onus is on the disciple to become qualified. Prabhupada said one time, you can judge the guru by the quality of his disciples. So we want to advance so that we can give glory to our spiritual master. I often think of Radhanath Swami when I travel around, and I meet his disciples. He's such an elevated sadhu. How many of you have met Radhana Swami or seen him? That's an elevated devotee, and his disciples, he trains them so nicely. Wherever I go, I don't have to ask the question, whose disciple are you? I can see it in their eyes. They're such etiquette, such humility, such a service attitude. So there's an example of the disciple giving credit to the guru. It's almost as if they're mirrors or reflections of the spiritual master. So the onus is on the disciple to give glory to the spiritual master by making nice progress. And that we can do. It's not difficult to know what pleases our spiritual master. What pleases our spiritual master is, first of all, to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, and secondly, to share our good fortune with others. Preaching was the mission of Krishna. Preaching was the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Preaching was the mission of Srila Prabhupada. It is our mission, and it will be the mission of our children and our children's children's children. And this gives the greatest pleasure to the spiritual master. So I'd like to ask my disciples on this day to be very active here in Melbourne. I'm sure that's one reason you've been recommended for initiation, because you are active. You have a very good leadership here. Prabhupada said one time, a program is only as good as the man who's heading it up. So here you have Aniruddha Prabhu as your temple president, and he's like Shiksha Guru. So you take it, whatever he says, whatever he says, it's coming from me. Okay? And that way I feel very confident that even though I'm traveling and I only come here from time to time, that you'll make nice progress in Krishna consciousness. So, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Aki Srila Prabhupada Aki Gaur Premanandi.